There was a movie, Batman Begins. Who watched that movie? Batman Begins. And then last year, there was a sequel to Batman Begins. What's the name of that movie?
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Okay. In that movie, I saw another angry character. Last time we saw the Incredible Hulk, who was incredibly angry and caused a lot of damages when he was angry. But in the Dark Knight, I saw another angry character that is both shocking and mind-boggling. It gets you thinking, even after the movie, this is probably the worst and most disgusting villain you have ever seen in the movie. Do you know who I'm talking about? The Joker and the Two-Face. Both, actually. But the Joker probably is more shocking than the Two-Face, although later on you also think about how a knife we might be to the Two-Face. When the Joker got angry at someone would be in big trouble because this person would die a painful death. Here's a picture of the Joker from Dark Knight. When he was angry, he would put a knife at someone's mouth and slice it at the corners of the mouth, claiming that was what his dad did to him, to put a permanent smile on his face here. So he would do the same to people who got him angry. He was angry at the district attorney, Harvey Dent, a hero in people's eyes, because he, Lieutenant Jim Gordon, and Batman set out to destroy organized crime in Gotham City, and they were very successful. The Joker set up bombs in hospitals and would just blow up hospitals and set the whole city in chaos. He tactfully set up Harvey Dent and his girlfriend here, set him up, finally killing the girlfriend and burned Harvey Dent's face. Tonight this. The Joker turned Harvey Dent, a hero in everybody's mind, into an angry villain. Even Batman was driven angry by the reaction of the people, because Joker caused the people to blame Batman for the disasters caused to the city of Gotham. Batman was there to help the people in the city of Gotham, and yet the people started to hate him. That got him really angry. Would Batman also turn into a villain, like Harvey Dent did, like the Joker did, because he was angry to Knight, because Knight was not fair to him? But the question after I have watched the movie is for myself and for every one of you. Would you and I turn into a villain, like the Joker or Harvey Dent, denying everything we claim to believe in the Bible? When we get angry at Knight and at God, because life becomes unfair to you, in a bad economy, you lose your job, you get angry at God. God, you're supposed to bless me with a job and everything that I need. Why do I lose the job? You cannot be true, cannot be the true God who is supposed to bless me. And then you lose your house, you lose your material possessions, everything that you take granted now. What if those things are gone? Wouldn't you be angry at night and angry at God? What if there's a death of a close family member in your family through an accident, or someone who got angry and hurt your family member, and then the family member is gone? Wouldn't you be angry at the person who caused this, and ultimately you'll be angry at God? I think these are very heavy questions, not easy to answer. Only the future will reveal the real answer to these questions in your life. But if you understand and apply what I will teach you from the Bible and apply that consistently to your life, the answer to these questions will be no. You won't become a villain like the Joker or Harvey Dent if you hold on to God. And if you apply God's word when you are angry. So that's why it's so important that I teach you today's lesson from God's word. You still remember last time we learned the definition and the facts of anger. We got a deeper understanding of what anger is, what caused anger. We looked at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 2. We learned the severe consequences of uncontrolled anger, similar to what the Hulk, Incredible Hulk, would cause. Then we learn from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, how gentle answer can turn away anger and how to apply that in our life. Gentle answer. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have gentleness. As a result, even when we are angry, we can be gentle and be controlled. If you missed all these, you can go to our English ministry website. It's www.cccdr.blogspot.com and download the sermon recording. I think anger is what people face a lot every day. And you better know how to manage your anger God's way so that you will not end up either like the Incredible Hulk, living in anxiety and fear of uncontrolled anger, destroying even the person he loved. Or, like the Joker, or Harvey Dent. Today we'll look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. Open your Bible to Proverbs. The book that is full of wise sayings in order to give us wisdom to live a good life in God's eyes. Most of the things were written by King Solomon, the wisest king, the wisest man the earth has ever seen, because God gave him the wisdom. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18 first, and then we'll look at chapter 16, verse 32, chapter 19, verse 11. Through these three verses, we'll see three other ways to control anger. If you apply them after you have understood them, I believe you will not end up like the Joker or Harvey Dent. Let me ask you again, what is anger in humans? Last time I asked you this question, and I gave you the definition. See how many of you still remember the definition of anger. What is anger? I think among the many things, this definition I have to review with you because it will help you to understand how to deal with anger. If you understand what anger is. Anyone to remember pieces of the definition and then just volunteer your answer? Anyone? What is anger? Telling people are very polite, very reserved. How about, let me call someone's name. If you don't feel comfortable, you're not ready, just say, oh, let me think about it, okay? That's okay. Jeff, you were here last time, right? What is anger? Emotion, you got it, that's the key word. Anger is the emotions that we experience when we feel that we don't get what we should get or what we must get. We get upset or angry. I deserve this, but I don't get it. I get angry. Or you are denied what you believe that you are entitled to. Or when you lose control or lose power, you feel upset. I'm supposed to be in control of this. I'm supposed to be the one who makes the decision. Why am I not making the decision? Why are you taking away the power from me? You get angry. And the result of such emotions is often decreased ability to resolve problems in interpersonal relationships an increased tendency of violence and verbal abuse. So that's the definition of anger. So the keywords are emotions triggered by experiences in which you think you should get something or must get something, but you don't get it. You think you have control, but you lose control or power. And then with anger, you lose, or that decreases your ability to deal with people in an interpersonal relationship that often results in violence or verbal abuse. Guys might tend to use violence, and women might tend to use verbal abuse because they're very good with it, with language. Today we'll learn three ways to help you to manage your anger. The first one is patience. Patience is about understanding anger in your mind. Why do I say so? Because patience in the original language in Proverbs means slow to anger. That's the biblical meaning of patience, slow to anger. According to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, it says that a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Here, literally in Hebrew, it says that a slow to anger man calms a quarrel. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says that better a patient man than a warrior. You think it's good to be a warrior with all the power and might, but Proverbs says that it's better to be a patient man, slow to anger man, than a warrior. Then I continue to ask the question, okay, it is good to be patient, to be slow to anger, they will help you when you're in anger, but how can I be patient? Proverbs 19 verse 11 tells us how we can be patient. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? We talk about it all the time. What is wisdom? Do it.
Knowledge.
Okay.
Psychological.
You mentioned about knowledge. Yes. Wisdom starts from knowledge, but don't get stopped at knowledge. Many people have PhDs. They might be called intelligent or smart. But when they are dealing with life, they're totally messed up. They don't have wisdom because they only have the knowledge that they cannot apply that to their life. So wisdom means that you're able to apply knowledge for your life into your life, not just a big head, big mouth, small hands and small feet, like an alien. But you're able to apply what you know into your life. That will help with your daily living. So that's the meaning of wisdom. But again, I ask, how can one have wisdom? I know. To be able to control your anger, you need to have patience. To be able to have patience, you need to have wisdom. But how can you have wisdom? Proverbs again tells us how we can have wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom, being able to apply knowledge to live a good life or skillful living in our life, is based on fear of the true God. If you fear God, you'll be willing to obey God's teachings, you'll be willing to learn from God's word. As a result, you'll be able, by God's enablement, to live a wise life. But in the New Testament, the Bible also tells us that as believers of Jesus Christ, we can have patience because we have the Holy Spirit helps us, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one aspect of that is patience. And how can one have the fruit of the Spirit? You need to keep asking these questions in order to understand. How can we have the fruit of the Spirit? Again, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 that we need to live by the Spirit through prayers, continual prayers, showing our fear to God, submission to God, and asking for God's help, and through God's Word, through reading of God's Word, understanding it, studying it, and thinking on God's Word, we will be able to apply that into our lives. The key to help you to be slow to anger is in your thoughts, is in your mind. You know what ultimately causes anger? Someone might say, I am angry. But what causes anger? Let me give you an example. Suppose I step on Jason's foot when I'm just walking by him without noticing that unintentionally, okay? I didn't intentionally step on his foot. And then Jason immediately has a thought in his mind. Minister Tan did that intentionally. He wanted to hurt me because he didn't like me, okay? And then with the thought comes a learned reaction. Suppose, this is just an example, I know it won't happen, okay? Suppose you learn that from your mom or your dad. Because when they are angry, they will slap at you, okay? And then you do the same to me, you slap at my face. Okay, then I have a thought, something happened. That stimulates me to have a thought. You know what? Some chemicals will be produced in the body, and that will produce an emotion that might be anger. And the anger would trigger a learned behavior. Suppose I learn that if in public someone insults me, according to my traditions, I cannot tolerate that, and I have to do something, okay? And I punched at his nose, and he bleed, and because I broke his nose. Guess what? Someone will call the police, because someone learned that if something serious is happening, better call the police, it's out of control, and then I'll be put in jail. You know what? If I have changed my belief system a little bit, it might have come out very differently. For example, again, I step on Jason's foot. Okay? But Jason assumes that Mr. Tan didn't do that intentionally. He's a good man. There's no reason for him to hate me intentionally. But he felt pain. Then he tell me, hey, Mr. Tan, you step on my foot. I feel really painful, okay? Why would he react that way? Because he learned that from his parents. When he hurt his parents would talk to him, explain that how you have hurt me, Jason. You have disobeyed me. It hurts me. It is not good for me, not good for you. See, he learned how to talk about his anger through what he learned. So he tells me, and I realize, oh, I'm at fault. And then I learned from my dad that when I offended. When my dad offended me, my dad would say, sorry son, I've done something wrong, forgive me. Even my dad would apologize to me. So I naturally apologized to Jason. Sorry Jason, I didn't do that intentionally, you know? I mean, I love you, as a brother, why would I do that, you know? So, and Jason accepts that apology. As a result, we hug each other as brothers, and no broken nose, and nobody will be put in jail. See, how powerful your belief system can affect how you handle anger. It's all in your mind. You know what? When we truly fear God, we will be willing to learn from God's Word and submit to God's belief system. Our belief systems are often flawed. They will often cause unnecessary violence or verbal abuse. That's why there is no peace in this world, because of our flawed belief systems. But if we synchronize our belief systems with God's belief systems in God's Word, we would have wisdom from God. And the Holy Spirit in the true believers will record, will bring to memory the right belief system at the right time, at the right place, when something happens that might cause anger. This will help us to be slow to anger. What is the only justified anger according to the Bible? We can be angry and not sin. So what type of anger is not sinful? According to the Bible, the only justified anger is towards sin. As Brother Billy Puckett already shared with us, God is angry towards sin. God hates sin. And we should also be angry towards sin in our lives. Things that cannot meet God's perfect standards, that miss the mark God's perfect standards, that is sin. We can be angry towards those, but how we react even when we are angry towards sin, we also need God's wisdom to help us so that we will not act foolishly. Although our anger might be justified, what we do might not be justified. Before you get angry next time, slowly think whether it is right for you to get angry according to God's word. If not, pray to ask God to take away your anger. God has the power to help you through the Holy Spirit. Ask God to also forgive you to be angry at the wrong thing. There are things that might not be described in the Bible clearly. Those are so-called gray areas. If you are not certain whether that is wrong, better not be angry at that. Okay? Ask God to help you to not be angry at that. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us that the key to a transformed life is the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is the spiritual act of worship. And the next, how can we do that? Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through God's word, continually transforming your mind in synchronize with God's word, God's mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In one Friday Bible study, some of the youth, also college students, they sat down together to talk about what is God's will for their life. You know what? To understand God's will, your mind needs to be continually transformed by God's word. Then you will understand what is God's will for your life. Not just in the long run, but daily living, every day. What is God's will for me? Every day. And I would obey to that. The Joker and Harvey Dent didn't have godly wisdom. And therefore, they had no proper understanding of anger in their mind. They did not have the right belief system. Therefore, they had no patience, no slowness to anger. They didn't have God's belief system of justice. They had their own worldly belief system about justice. And they simply acted upon their emotions and impulses. That's what animals do without reason. When animals are in fear, they attack the potential enemy, resulting in sin. The second way for us to manage anger is control. Here it is talking about conquering anger in our hearts. We talk about the mind. Now it comes to the hearts. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 32 says that a man who controls his temper. In Hebrew, the original language literally says that a man who rules, conquers his spirit. It's better than the one who takes a city. in a land where safety depended on military power and skill in warfare, you know what? Someone who is a strong warrior, someone who knows how to take a city, is highly valued. And yet, in comparison to this, what is better? Being able to control one's temper, to conquer one's spirits. The Chinese saying says that our biggest enemy is ourselves. You might be able to conquer a city outside, but are you able to conquer your inner sinful desires, weaknesses inside? People fail when it comes to conquering themselves. Although they might be able to conquer a city, they might be able to get straight A's in school, but when it comes to their heart's desire, evil desire, they often have no control of that. They often lose in that battle. That's why Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says that, above all else, guard your heart. That includes your feelings, your emotions, your motives, your passions in your heart. It is not just about knowledge, but it comes from knowledge, related to knowledge, but it will also produce emotions, motives, and passions. It says that, for it is the wellspring or the source of life. Your heart determines what will come out of your life. You think getting straight A's or doing things well outside will help you? Ultimately, if you don't control your heart, don't guard your heart, you will ruin everything that you build outside. So that's why it's so important that we learn how to conquer anger in our hearts. Abraham Lincoln, Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, was angered by an army officer who accused him of favoritism. Stanton complained it to Lincoln, and Lincoln suggested that Stanton write the officer who accused him wrongly a sharp letter expressing everything that he felt. And Stanton did, and showed the strongly worded letter to the president. And then Lincoln asked, what are you going to do with the letter? Stanton was surprised. He said, of course I'm going to send it. I wrote the letter, I'm going to send it. But Lincoln shook his head. You don't want to send that letter. He said, put it in the stove. Burn it. That's what I do when I am angry and when I write a letter. I write it. That makes me feel better. But I know I cannot just send this letter to anyone. When I'm acting on my anger, I will say things that will not build up people but destroy relationships. I will burn it. Now you feel better writing this letter. Write another one. So that's Lincoln's advice. So when you are in anger, control your anger. Conquer your inner weaknesses. How can we do that? By our own power, we cannot do that. Again, the fruit of the Spirit, one aspect of that is self-control. It does have self-control. God provided through the Holy Spirit a way to conquer ourselves through the fruit of the Spirit. The Joker and Harvey Dent did not have godly wisdom. That's why they couldn't control their anger. And they were angry at the wrong things. You know what? Both the Joker and Harvey Dent were pretty smart and talented, but they failed to control their hearts. And what comes from their heart is tragedy. Their own death or death of precious people around them. The third way to handle anger, after being able to understand anger in your mind, conquer anger in your heart, now it comes to the will. The will, that means you make a choice to forgive, to forget an offense towards you. Proverbs 19 verse 11 says that it is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory to to overlook an offense. Someone who can overlook an offense, someone who can forgive an offender's offense, that person has shown honorable character. It is an honorable thing to be able to overlook an offense instead of remembering it, keep thinking about it, and then act upon it, trying to revenge. That will cause destruction often. Back in Dallas, in my Taekwondo class, we had a sparring session. I was sparring first with a very strong guy, so I had to block really hard, and I often have to kick harder. And then after that, I was arranged to spar with a female student, but she was actually bigger than I am. So I was using the same force in the sparring, but I was hitting the legal areas above the belt, okay, mainly the middle area. And she was able to block that, okay, very easily. And but she got angry at me. She said, "You hit so hard, you know?" And then I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I just sparred with a guy." And while I was saying sorry, she kicked my face with a roundhouse kick. She was so angry at my face, okay? Do you know what I did? I did nothing. I thought about, if I kick back as hard at her face or punch at her face, you know what would happen? I might be kicked out of school. So better control the anger. So I decided to control it at that moment. And later on, we actually became friends, okay? And she also went to seminary. And I believe she will also serve God full time. It is because I made a choice. Although in my inner emotions I want to explode, but I chose to control my anger. As a result, I am still practicing Taekwondo, and Lord willing, by next Thursday I'll be second degree black belt, got to take another test, because I continue to take it, and I always exercise control when I spar with people, because it can be dangerous when you're out of control with all the power, this technique that I've learned. In marriage relationship, again, Nina and I, sometimes we have different opinions, we have different ways of doing things. Sometimes we were wrong for a good intention. We do things out of good intention, and that the other person assumes that, that's not out of good intention, it is no good. Or maybe put down for something that is done in good effort. It causes anger in each one of us. But we often will talk about it. We will not fight, okay? We can't, but we will talk about it. But when we see that we started raising our voices, and then usually it's Nina, she will say, "Let's have a time out, okay, it's not a good time to talk because we're not going to get anywhere." Although sometimes I still want to keep talking, but she will just say time out and I will just respect her. And usually it takes about 30 to 40 minutes to calm down for anger. And then we'll talk about it again, and during the process, during that 30 or 40 minutes, we'll also pray about this, and we often will find out that we each were at fault, and we will say sorry to each other, and we often would actually get closer after such an argument. How could we do that? Not by our own power. By our own power, we continue to argue in raised voice that will develop into a heated argument. If I cannot control myself, I must misuse my Taekwondo techniques, and that would be a disaster. It is impossible with God's presence through the Holy Spirit for us to forgive. For forgiving someone who has offended us is beyond our normal capacity. Love your enemy. That is the hardest thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What is love? What is love? Love is patience. See? Love includes slow to anger. Love also includes not easily angered, control in anger. Love also includes forgiveness to the wrongs done on us, keeps no record of wrongs. And love never fails. Again, this is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to all believers to help us in anger to be able to first understand what is anger according to God's belief system so that we can be slow to anger. Second, control our hearts, our emotions, our motives, so that we can control ourselves not to explode into wild anger that will cause destruction. And thirdly, to be able to forgive. We must still remember someone who offended us, but we choose, it's a decision in the will, not to revenge and stop right there and not be bothered by it. Again, this is the result of the Holy Spirit's work. The Joker and Harvey Dent didn't have godly wisdom. Therefore, couldn't forgive those who hurt them or forget their offenses to them. And they felt everyone owed them and they will make everyone suffer to get it even. That's their belief system. I hope none of us will have this belief system. What happened to Batman? We talked about Harvey Dent. We talked about the Joker. How about Batman? Batman, in his struggle, tried to understand the source of his anger. When the people he was trying to help was, they were angry at him. Why? Because he had a friend who was wise. He gave him wise counsel, explained that, Batman, you're doing all things because you do these for the good reputation. When people no longer respect you, do not give you the good reputation you think you deserve, you get angry. But are you really doing the good things for the good reputation, or are you just doing it because it is the right thing to do? You know what? This helped him to be slow to anger. He controlled his anger and he chose to forget the offense from the people whom he tried to defend. And he continued to live and die for righteousness, even if people did not understand him. He even was willing to take on the consequences of what Harvey Dent did. He said, okay, he had a good reputation. These people wanted someone with a good reputation, that's fine. I'll continue to do the right thing, even if they hate me, even if they think that I am a villain. So he chose to do the right thing, even though he should be angry because he was not respected for doing the right thing and being wrong. I think Batman is a good example when it comes to forgiveness, how to handle anger. But do you know who is the best example? Jesus Christ is the best example of anger management. When I thought about it, Jesus Christ, he is the holy God. He is angry towards sin, 1,000 times angry towards sin than we are. We sometimes just overlook sin. But he is the holy God. He cannot overlook sin. He is so angry towards sin, and yet he, although he had the right anger, he controlled his anger. And he acted in a way out of anger to actually die for those people who caused him anger because of their sins. He died for his enemy. As a result, all those who are willing to believe in what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross, dying and resurrecting for their sins, would not be judged by God. Because God is holy, God is also love, which includes patience, we just learned, which includes control and forgiveness. So when you are angry, look at Jesus. He is the best example of anger management. And he also provided us the counselor, the comforter, the strengthener, the Holy Spirit to help us to do the same, what is beyond our normal capacity. So in anger, let us not sin. Let us be patient by correcting our belief systems through God's word, transforming our mind every day. Let us control our anger by conquering ourselves, the inner weaknesses, the sinful desires that causes anger. Let's conquer ourselves. Let's set a goal besides trying to get straight A's, be a good student, or what you want to be someone who can conquer the inner selfish evil desires. A conqueror of self. That's the true winner in life. But you cannot do it without God's power. Let's also learn to forgive our offenders by forgetting about their offenses towards us, asking God to help us to not remember their offenses and not revenge. But let us also be angry towards sin, and emphasize again, we need to be angry towards sin, and let us not be willing, let us, in anger towards sin, act the way Jesus acts, offering ourselves up for God's use. Jesus died for our sins so that we can die to sin and live for righteousness, according to 1 Peter. Why did Jesus die for us? So that we will not be judged for our sins, so that we can die to sin, we can resist sin. Now we have the power, but also to live for righteousness. And also help other people to become children of God. That's the only way they can handle their anger properly, is to become children of God, because the Holy Spirit will again help them to not become slaves of uncontrolled anger. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, today is the last Sunday of the month. Later on, we'll take the Lord's Supper. Again, it reminds us how much Jesus Christ, in his anger towards sin, has shown his slowness to anger, has shown his control in anger, and his forgiveness for all the offenses we, every one of us, has done towards the Holy God. But instead of destroying us, he died for us. He was resurrected for us, so that we can be at peace with God, so that we will not be judged for what we deserve, but we receive what we don't deserve. That is the grace, the gift to be able to have eternal life with God in heaven, because Jesus took upon himself our sins. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will work within each one of us. Let us be conquerors of our own self, our selfish, our evil desires. Let us set this as the goal for our life, to be continually to be transformed in the mind, in our hearts, and also in our will, to shine in this world that is full of angry people. Let us be able to reach out with the gospel to help them to be free from the slavery of anger and sin. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.